نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الفرقان. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion to his slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he may be a warner to the worlds. He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and who has begotten no son, and for whom there is no partner in the dominion. He has created everything and has measured it exactly according to its due measurements. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by praising himself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of his greatest blessing upon us, which is what? الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Who sent down the Furqan. What exactly is meant by Furqan? Furqan comes from the letters Faraqa. Faraqa means when you divide something. So Furqan then is that which teaches us to distinguish between truth and falsehood. As Allah tells us, Hudan lil muttaqin, guidance for the Allah conscious. See, in this surah we get to learn the purpose of the Quran. So Allah doesn't start by saying, blessed is he who sent down the book, or blessed is he who sent down the guidance, Al-Furqan. This is the purpose of the Quran. It teaches us to distinguish between that which is right and between that which is wrong. Ala abdihi, upon his slave. Who is the slave that is being spoken of here? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now again we see that Allah has linked the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise Allah could have simply said, blessed is he who sent down the criterion so that it may be a warner to the worlds. Why did Allah mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here? To remind us that in order to understand the Quran, in order to act upon the Quran, in order to implement the Quran, we need the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. People say nowadays, oh, I read the Quran. I know what's in the Quran. Don't tell me. And I don't need the hadith because I don't know which hadiths are accurate and which aren't. And people have invented a whole lot of lies about how all the hadith collections were burnt and ahadiths are mostly fabricated. And they say it's enough that you read the Quran yourself. For us to say that we can understand the Quran better than the being upon whom it was revealed 1400 years ago is nothing short of ridiculous folly. Who are we to say that, well, I can understand this Quran better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon whom it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده, upon his slave. Once Hazrat Aisha was asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's conduct, his behavior, and she replied simply, his behavior was the Quran. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. He lived the Quran. He didn't just preach it. He wasn't just a vessel that conveyed the message and that's it. No, he acted upon it. He demonstrated to us how we can live our life by this Quran. And why? For those Arabs who lived 1400 years ago, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. So he may be a warner for the entire world. Now you might say, well, the Prophet ﷺ has died, so how then can he warn the world? That mission, that torch has been handed to us. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Thus have we made you a moderate nation, so that you may be witnesses over mankind. This legacy of the Prophet ﷺ. For prophets don't leave behind land or wealth that others inherit. They leave behind legacies of knowledge. So he handed this legacy of his to us. And what have we done with it? Now you look at the beauty of the Quran, that in one ayah, Allah has told us so many things. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion. First Allah reminds us, Alhamdulillah. Then Allah tells us that this Quran will teach you what is right and what is wrong. Then Allah tells us, Ala abdihi, upon his slave. Not even upon his Rasul, upon his slave. Because sometimes people exaggerate the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah reminds us first and foremost he was Allah's slave. He was a human being. And then Allah tells us the mission of the Ummah. ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. So he can be a warner for mankind. Who is Allah? Why should we carry out this mission? He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and who has begotten no son, and for whom there is no partner in the dominion. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He has created everything. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And he has measured it exactly. Everything in perfect proportion. Now we can look at whatever Allah has created, whether the sun, the moon, the stars, ourselves. If you look at a little newborn child when it's born, how perfectly the child is proportioned. Every tiny finger so perfect in its proportion. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. It is Allah who granted everything that perfect proportion. If we think about it, were our planet to be a little farther away from the sun, or a little closer, we could not live on earth. Were the sun's rays to be of a slightly different composition, they would be lethal. Were our planet a little bit smaller, it could not retain the atmosphere necessary to preserve life. And were it bigger, then the atmosphere would include poisonous gases such as ammonia. And the small size of the planet alone allows these gases to escape. Everything has been created in accordance with that perfect balance and measure known to Rabbul Alameen. Yet they have taken besides him other gods. Look at the incredulity in Allah's words. Allah tells us about himself. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is none like him. See, as I mentioned earlier, إِلَهٌ comes from the word أَلِيهَةٌ, which means to astonish. إِلَهٌ is the being who does astonishing feats, amazing feats. Have any of us done things such as Allah has described in verse number 2? And Allah says, yet they have taken besides them other gods? Is that how steeped in ignorance they are? Is that how foolish they are? They can't even figure it out when there is none like Allah, when there is none like Allah's creation. Then how can they equate human beings with Allah? Whether good or pious or prophets or saints or martyrs. هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. They equate others with their Lord, who is the Rabb, who has created everything, who is nourishing it, sustaining it, who created nothing but are themselves created, and possess neither harm nor benefit for themselves, and possess no power of causing death, nor giving life, nor of raising the dead. In other words, Allah says, why don't these people think about those whom they're worshipping? Now we need to remember that there are different kinds of worship. There's a kind of worship where I go to a grave and I pray to that peer or that buzurg or that martyr to grant me abundance and wealth or grant me children or whatever. That's one form of worship, shirk. There's another form of shirk when I obey anyone other than Allah. I hear the azan for Fajr. I know I should get up and pray. I know Allah's told me to pray, but I'm too tired, so I'll read Fajr when I get up. Who am I obeying here, Allah or my own nafs? My own soul, my own desires. If I am obeying my own desires, then that too is a form of shirk. Those who disbelieve say, this Quran is nothing but a lie that the Prophet ﷺ has invented. And others have helped him at it. And that's what some Orientalists would have us believe too. That Muhammad ﷺ was this brilliant man who lived 1400 years ago and came up with this amazing book. To say that the Quran is the work of the Prophet ﷺ is to strike at the roots of Iman. Even if they're saying that he was so brilliant, he came up with this book. Because what is our Iman? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. We believe that Allah has written this book. Those who disbelieve say this Quran is nothing but a lie that he has invented and others have helped him at it. In fact, they have produced unjust, wrong things and a lie. And they say, أَفَطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Tales of the ancient people, which he has written down, and they are dictated to him morning and afternoon. قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, say, this Quran has been sent down by him who knows the secret of the heavens and the earth. This was the real reason that the Prophet ﷺ was unlettered. So that none should be able to say that he wrote this Quran. Yet still some people have invented theories and stories that no, these Christian scholars used to dictate this book to him. Allah says this Quran has been sent down by him who knows the secret of the heavens and the earth. Indeed, he is all forgiving, most merciful. Now Allah tells us some of the propaganda that they invented about him in those days. And we find a lot of propaganda against the Prophet ﷺ in our day as well. And the sad fact is that Muslims nowadays have an apologetic attitude about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because we've been brainwashed into thinking that they are speaking the truth and not this Quran. These people say, why does this messenger eat food and walk about in the markets as we? Why is not an angel sent down to him to be a warner with him? Or why has not a treasure been granted to him? Or why has he not a garden whereof he may eat? And the wrongdoers say, you follow none but a man bewitched. Unzur, kaifa darabu laka al-amsal. See how they coin similitudes for you? Like people who say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a jinn, a'udhu billah. And they've come up with these sick, weird theories, trying to prove that when he used to speak the Quran, he was in a fit. He was going through an epileptic fit and he didn't really know what he was saying. Allah says, see how they coin similitudes for you? They have gone astray and they cannot find the right path. Blessed be he who, if he wills, will grant you better than all that, gardens under which rivers flow, and will grant you palaces. Their main objection was, well, how come he is suffering so much? And in this world we also say, well, if Islam is on the right path, if Muslims are the chosen ones of Allah, then why are the Muslims suffering so much? Allah says, worldly suffering or worldly prosperity is no guarantee of Allah's anger or love. What have we learned? Nablukum bisharri wal khairi fitna. We test you both by evil days and by good days. Both are a test. Wealth is a test, just as adversity, just as misfortune is a test. What then is the truth of the matter? Bal kazzabu bis-sa'ah. They denied ya. They don't want to change their lives. They don't want to change their actions, their conversations. So it's much easier to spend their time coming up with excuses to disobey. Allah says the truth of the matter is they denied ya. They're not interested in preparing for the Day of Judgment. And for those who deny the hour, we have prepared a flaming fire. When it sees them from a far place, they will hear its raging and its roaring. This is so frightening. You get the image as if hell can actually spot its victims. And when they shall be thrown into a narrow place thereof, chained together, they will call out for destruction. When do we call out for destruction or death? When we feel we can't bear it anymore. I wish I could die. Allah says, exclaim not today for one destruction, but exclaim for many destructions. Why will they be punished so severely? Because in the examination hall of this lifetime, they treated it as a joke. And they made fun of the Quran, and they made fun of the Sunnah, and they made fun of the people who followed the Quran and Sunnah. And they said, oh, let's have a good time first and then we'll think about it. So on that day, they will pay for this heedlessness. قُلْ أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ جَنَّةُ الْخُلْدِ. Ask them, is that torment better or the paradise of eternity, which is promised to the Allah conscious? It will be theirs as a reward and as a final destination. People say the Quran is so scary, it's full of descriptions of hell. We find in the Quran a perfect balance between encouragement and warning. So wherever Allah mentions hell, Allah mentions Jannah as well. Because some people are so stubborn, they only listen when they are threatened or when they feel frightened. And some people need encouragement and love. So Allah has provided both encouragement and warning in this book. For them there will be therein all that they desire, and they will live therein forever. Kana ala rabbika wa'dan mas'ula. It is a promise binding upon your Lord that must be fulfilled. Just imagine if we were in Jannah. See, we think of Jannah and we think of pious people sitting there and it seems like, you know, there wouldn't be much to do. Allah says, for them there will be therein all that they desire, any dreams that they might have seen, all forms of luxury. And above all, what will be the most beautiful aspect of Jannah? Salam. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No fears, no tensions, no frustrations. La hum yahzanun. Nor will they have any griefs. See, in this worldly life, even if we're having some happy times, there's always some fly in the ointment, something to mar our joy, some regret, I wish that could have happened, I wish she could be with me. You know, some regret that makes your happiness unfulfilled, incomplete. Allah says, for them there will be therein all that they desire, and they will live therein forever. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ. And on the day when Allah will gather them together, and that which they worship besides Allah. And worship means obedience. Worship means dua. He will say, was it you who misled these slaves, or did they themselves stray from the right path? Now from this ayat we understand that on the day of judgment, Allah will gather together all the people and that which they used to worship, all the good people they used to worship, like people who worship Hazrat Ali or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that matter, or any saint or scholar who is now passed away and they've bestowed titles such as Ganj Baksh and Bari Imam upon them. Allah will ask these good people, now this is very important, was it you who misled these my slaves, or did they themselves stray from the right path? Why will Allah ask them? Doesn't He know? He knows that they did not mislead them, but He wants that the people who fell into this error should listen to their so-called deities deny all knowledge of their worship. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ, they will say, glory be to you. It was not for us to take any protectors besides you, but you gave them and their fathers comfort till they forgot the warning and became a lost people. Now imagine their fright, the fright of those good people, and they say, Subhanallah, we never told them to worship us. We simply tried to connect them to you. But what happened to these people then? An abundance of worldly luxuries led them astray. فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوكُمْ, thus they will belie you. Regarding what you say, then you can neither avert the punishment nor get help. And whosoever among you does wrong, does zulm. What zulm is this? The greatest form of zulm is when we take Allah's right of soul worship and grant it to someone else, whether it's a prophet or an angel or a jinn or whoever. Allah says, whoever amongst you does zulm, نُذِقْهُ عَذَابًا كَبِيرًا, we will make him taste a great torment. And what is wrong with these people? Why don't they understand? We never sent before you any of the messengers, but indeed they ate food and walked in the markets. And we have made some of you as a trial for others. أَتَصْبِرُونَ, will you then have patience? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا, and your Lord is ever all-seer of everything. Allah says, why don't people understand that a prophet is not supposed to be someone immortal or someone free from human wants or free from human needs? He's not supposed to be this supernatural being. He's an ordinary human being, and that's the purpose of prophethood, to send people someone whom they can follow. Now imagine if Allah had sent an angel to us. What would we say? Well, how can we follow him? He was an angel. We're not angels. It wouldn't have been practical. It wouldn't have been feasible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have sent anyone other than an ordinary human being. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. What was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to tell us? Again and again, I am a human being just like you. And your Lord is ever watching. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, those who do not expect a meeting with us, people who are not interested in the day of judgment, oh, don't talk to me of death, I find death so scary. What do they say? Why are not the angels sent down to us? Or why do we not see our Lord? Many people say, well, why does Allah want us to worship Him? And if He wants us to worship Him, why can't we see Him? And why can't we, you know, have some proof or be shown some miracle? Allah says, لَقَدِ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. What is behind their statement? Their statements that, well, we want to see Allah or we want to see the angels, they are arrogant. What is takabbur? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined it as rejecting the truth and despising others. And this was the satanic crime, wasn't it? When Allah commanded Shaitan to bow down before Adam alayhi salam, what was the sequence of events that followed? Aba, he refused. I'm not going to obey Allah. Wastakbara, and he was arrogant, that I don't see the sense in this, so I'm not going to follow Allah. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, what does arrogance lead to? To kufr, to disbelief, to disobedience. لَقَدِ اسْتَكْبَرُوا, they think too highly of themselves. That's why they're passing foolish statements like, we want to see Allah, why couldn't we have seen an angel? Why couldn't the Quran have been revealed to us? Allah says they think too highly of themselves, and they are scornful with great pride. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَ, on the day they will see the angels. People will say, we want to see the angels, we want a clear-cut sign. Allah says, you will see the angels. But on that day, there will be no good news for the criminals. Now look at the words Allah has used here. He's not said for the non-Muslims. We like to complacently think, well, we are Muslims, so we'll be really happy that day, because we'll run to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he'll save us. Allah says there will be no good tidings for the criminals. Now that could be anyone who disobeyed Allah, anyone who sinned against Allah. On that day when they see the angels, there will be no joy in their hearts. And the angels will say all kind of glad tidings are forbidden to you. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْصُورًا. We shall turn to whatever deeds these criminals did, and we shall make such deeds as scattered, floating particles of dust. Look at the vivid imagery Allah employs. Scattered, floating particles of dust. What does this image convey? No substance. You can hardly see them. Forget weighing them. Forget being rewarded for them. You can't even see them properly. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us, the example of those who disbelieved, their deeds are like ashes. And ashes that are scattered by a stormy wind. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا. They won't have control over anything that they have earned. Allah tells us that when we are sinning repeatedly, when we are disobeying Him repeatedly, we are passing arrogant statements like, well, when is this day of judgment going to come? So why can't we see Allah? Then we needn't expect any reward on that day. We shall make such deeds as they did as scattered, floating particles of dust. What gives the deed stability? What gives it substance? Iman. And purity of intention and the way we did it. Iman and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. For instance, if I'm praying, but if I've invented a method of prayer of my own, that deed's not going to have any stability on that day. Or if I'm praying properly the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, but I'm praying so that people admire me and people look at me and think, oh, how pious she is, then that deed's not going to have any stability as well. Ashabul Jannah. Now Allah tells us about the people of paradise. Again and again Allah places the choices before us. Which do we wish to be? People of Jannah or, God forbid, the people of hell? The dwellers of paradise will on that day have the best abode and will have the fairest of places for repose. وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ لِلرَّحْمَنِ. Remember the day when the heavens shall be rent asunder with clouds and the angels will be sent down with a grand descending. The sovereignty on that day will be the true sovereignty belonging to Ar-Rahman. Allah alone is Maliki Yawmiddin. In a hadith Qudsi we find that on that day Allah will crumple up the heavens in His hand and say, Anal Malik, I am the king. Aina mulukul ard, where are the kings of the earth? Aina al-jabbarun, where are the arrogant ones? Aina al-mutakabbirun, where are the proud ones? The tyrants, the oppressors. Allah says the sovereignty on that day will belong to Ar-Rahman. See, in this world we sin and we get away with it. We disobey Allah, we lie, we cheat, we gossip, and nothing happens, so we think, well, fine, we're getting away with it. Allah tells us of that day. Accountability is for that day, and it will be a hard day for the disbelievers. And one aspect of kufr is disobedience. It's not just those who say we don't believe in Allah, it's also those who don't obey Allah. Remember the day when the wrongdoer will bite at his hands. When do we bite at our hands? When do we wring our hands? In extreme tension, in extreme despair, when you're scared out of your wits. So people start biting their nails or they start wringing their hands because they're so tense they don't know how to react. He will say, oh, would that I had taken a path with the messenger. Ya laytani ittakhaztu ma rasooli sabila. How can we take a path with the messenger, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's died. This means that we follow his sunnah. And we support his mission. And we live the way he lived. We live for the cause for which he lived. Ya waylata, laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Now look at the two regrets that this man will utter. Now let's not just think of other people and pass judgments and say, yes, I can imagine so and so saying this. Let's think of ourselves. If on that day we realize that all our life was just wasted, we just squandered those precious moments away and we don't even remember what happened, then on that day, what will be the two greatest regrets? that I wish that I had supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wish I had served Islam. I wish I had followed the Sunnah. And I wish that I had never taken so-and-so as an intimate friend. Now look at the two ayahs. There's a very important link between them. What is the greatest obstacle in the path of our obeying Allah? People, our friends. Come on, don't be such a bore. Don't tell me that's all you spend your time doing, reading the Quran. Let's have some fun first. Our friends are the people who are most responsible for influencing our actions and our thoughts and behavior. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." A man is upon the religion of his friend. If we want to know what our level of iman truly is, just take a look at your best friend. If you want to analyze what you truly are, what your perceptions, what your essence is, just look at your best friend and you'll find out for yourself. Now look at this man. He's not saying, I wish that I hadn't done this. He's saying, I wish I hadn't taken such and such a person for my intimate friend. Not just a casual acquaintance, intimate friend. What is Allah teaching us? That we need two things for guidance. We need the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need good company. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, وَاسْفِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Keep yourself with those who call to their Lord morning and evening, desiring His pleasure. And do not turn away from them, wishing for the life of this world. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless about our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Do not obey one who follows his own desires, who does whatever he feels like doing. If he feels like sleeping, he'll sleep. If he feels like eating the whole day long, that's what he'll do. All day long, he's just satisfying his own desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And his matters are excessive. He exceeds the limits in everything. Allah is teaching us, be careful of your friends, lest your friends take you on the path to hell. Now, what do we find in the Quran, the supreme example of friendship? وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim as a friend. Whose friendship should we be seeking? Allah's friendship. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. It's not difficult to find, but we need to seek Him. Allah says, come towards me walking and I'll come towards you running. You draw near me one handspan, I'll draw near you an arm's length. But we need to take that first step. We need to seek His friendship. People say, oh, I've left my Islam for my old age. I'm too young to obey Allah. I'm too young to focus on Allah as yet. We don't know when we'll die. اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. Allah took Ibrahim as an intimate friend, the same word as is used in this ayah. And that friendship is one that will be a source of joy and blessing and the cause of entering Jannah. This man goes on to say, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ. Why is he regretting having taken so-and-so as a close friend? Because he led me astray from the reminder. He distracted me from the Quran. He persuaded me not to attend the Quranic gatherings. He persuaded me not to follow the Quran. Come on, you're too young for this. Let's have some fun first. After it had come to me, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And shaitan is to man ever a deserter in the hour of need. Why is Allah mentioning shaitan here? Now look at the sequence of the verses. The first regret that this man will have will be that he did nothing for Islam. He never followed the sunnah. He never supported Islam. He never served Islam. The second regret he will have will be over his choice of friends. And why? Because his friend distracted him from the Quran. His friend persuaded him not to listen to the Quran. Maybe his friend found the Quran boring and so he persuaded him that you two stay away for my sake. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَزُولًا. Look at the conclusion that he arrives at. That shaitan deserts man in his hour of need. Any relationship, any friendship which we base on other than love of Allah will fail us on that day. أَلَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah tells us quite plainly that on that day the best of friends, friends that you would die for and that you think would die for you, don't be deluded. On that day all best friends will hate each other. Why will they hate each other? Because they helped each other sin, They helped each other disobey Allah. They helped each other stay away from Allah. So they'll blame each other. It's your fault that I didn't pray that day. And it's your fault that I stayed away from the Quran. You're the one who led me astray. Will all friendships fail? إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ Except those who are Allah conscious. When you form a friendship with someone for love of Allah, so maybe you can teach them something about Allah, or they can teach you something about Allah, or you want to help them for Allah's sake, then that alone is the enduring relationship. We find in a hadith that one day this man was going to meet someone, and the angels asked him on the way that, why are you going to meet this man? And he said, for Allah's sake. So the angel said, is there any other reason? He said, no, I just love him for Allah's sake. And the angel said, Allah too loves you for this relationship. This is what we need to focus on. Man ahabba lillah, whoever loves for Allah's sake. We need to love for Allah's sake. We need to love people so that either we can help them get closer to Allah or they can help us get closer to Allah. Because remember, shaitan will desert us in our hour of need. All other relationships will not endure. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ And the messenger will say on that day, يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا O my Lord, indeed my people deserted this Quran, neglected this Quran. If you've ever seen a house that no one has lived in for several years, and you look at it and the windows are broken and it's shabby and the paint has crumbled off, and you look at the house, you can't even imagine that there was a time when people lived in that house. Or like sometimes say, oh, that child is so neglected. He's always dirty. He's always wearing dirty clothes. His face is dirty. No one's taking care of him. How do we neglect this Quran? We don't neglect this Quran, do we? No. We cover it in our best silken coverings. We put it on our highest shelf. We kiss it daily. We read it once every Ramzan and, oh, we love the Quran. Quran Kareem. Amina Silmi came to Pakistan and she was asked, what do you think of the Pakistani women and their relationship with the Quran? And she said, for them it's magic words. They read it if someone's sick, they read it if someone's dying, they read it if someone's having a baby. Quran Kareem, they're kissing the Quran, putting it on their highest shelves, covering it in silk and velvet, but it's not in their hearts. Do we know what's in the Quran? We recite it, we tell our children, we get a Maulvi Saab and they teach our children to recite the Quran. And once they finish the Quran, we have a grand Ameen and they've done their duty by the Quran, haven't they? Allah says that the messenger will say, and the words are so forlorn, that, oh my Lord, indeed my people neglected this Quran. They deserted it. They didn't value it. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't study it. They didn't contemplate it. They did not act upon it. And they certainly did not convey it. They made it into something deserted and neglected. What have we done to the Quran? That's exactly what we've done to the Quran today. So on that day then, we should not expect the Quran to intercede for us. Because the Prophet ﷺ warned us, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun lak aw alayk. The Quran will either argue for you or against you. If we fulfilled our duty of the Quran, what is the Quran's duty upon us? That we recite it in Arabic, that we read it with understanding as we're trying to do these days, that we contemplate its deeper meanings, not that we say, oh, I know what's in the Quran, don't come preaching to me. That we contemplate its meanings. For the Quran has such an ocean of depth that every time you open the Quran, it's like you're reading it for the first time. We need to read it with awe, with love, with contemplation, and we need to act upon it. Knowledge without action is useless. Otherwise we become, as Allah tells us in the Quran, that the Jews are like donkeys carrying upon their backs loads of books. So if I've memorized the whole Quran, and if I know every ayat's reference, and I can tell you the origin behind every ayat, but I'm not acting upon it, then I'm simply like a donkey who's carrying upon its back a heavy book, without knowing what's in it. The Quran has come, so we act upon it. And then we need to convey it. Are we fulfilling these duties? Are we fulfilling even one of these duties? If we're not, then we have neglected this Quran. Thus have we made for every prophet an enemy among the criminals. But sufficient is your Lord as a guide and helper. And those who disbelieve say, why is not the Quran revealed to him all at once? Thus it is sent down in parts that we may strengthen your heart thereby. The Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years, and you find in some verses that when a particular occasion would take place, that's when the Quran would be revealed. And we have revealed it to you gradually in stages. No example do they bring, but we reveal to you the truth and the better explanation thereof. Those who will be gathered to hell, prone on their faces, such will be in an evil state and most astray from the straight path. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ And indeed we gave Musa the scripture and placed his brother Harun with him as a helper. And we said, both of you go to the people who have denied our signs. Then we destroyed the people with utter destruction. And Nuh's people, when they denied the messengers, we drowned them and we made them as a sign for mankind. And we had prepared a painful torment for the wrongdoers. And also Ad and Samud and the dwellers of Arras and many generations in between. And for each of them we put forward examples. And each of them we brought to utter ruin. And indeed they have passed by the town on which was rained the evil rain. This is the town of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. Did they then not see it? No, but they used not to expect any resurrection. And when they see you, they treat you only in mockery, saying, Is this the one whom Allah has sent us a messenger? He would nearly have misled us from our gods, had it not been that we were patient and constant in their worship. And they will know when they see the torment, who it is that is most astray from the right path. People used to mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Just look at this man trying to mislead us from the path of our ancestors. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Have you seen him who has taken his desires as his God? Please highlight this ayat. People say, We don't do shirk. We worship Allah. La ilaha illallah. If we sing La ilaha illallah and following our own desires and doing whatever we wish to do, then we have made our own nafs into a God. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that the worst false God which is followed on earth is man's own nafs. Allah says, Have you seen him who has taken his desires as his own God? If I feel like praying, I'll pray. And if I feel like sleeping, I'll sleep. And if I feel like fasting, I'll fast. And if I feel like eating, I'll eat. No moderation. No consideration of what Allah wants, whatever I feel like doing. I'm going to do what I'm comfortable with. I'm not ready for hijab, so that's not even an option as yet. Have you seen him who has taken his desires as his God? Would you then be a disposer of his affairs over him? Why do we do this? Oh, the Prophet will intercede for us. Run to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he'll appeal on our behalf and we'll all go to Jannah. Allah is saying, will you intercede for such a person who's following his own desires, who's not following Allah? And the answer is no. Intercession is in Allah's hands. And if we have displeased Allah, there is no way in the heavens or earth that Allah will allow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede for us. Or do you think that most of them hear or understand? In hum illa kal an'am, they are like cattle. Bal hum adallu sabila. In fact, they are even further astray than the cattle from the path. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, People who listen to the Quran but don't act upon it. People who hear the Quran, who study the Quran, but cannot start implementing it in their lives, they are like cattle. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, they have hearts wherewith they understand not. They have eyes wherewith they see not. And they have ears wherewith they hear not. They're listening, but they can't process it. They can't internalize it. They can't absorb it. It's not making sense to them. It sounds boring. It sounds dreary, like a burden. They see the Quran before them, but they're not processing the truth. They're not being able to act upon it. This is spiritual blindness. In hum illa kal an'am. They are like cattle. What are the pursuits of cattle, of animals? They just eat and they drink. And then at the end of the day, they die. Is that what our lives are about? That we're eating, we're drinking, we're raising our children. And that's all that our dreams, that our ambitions are focusing on? Have you not seen how your Lord spread the shadow? See, the mu'min is not supposed to be simply one who's just sitting on the prayer mat all day long. No, the mu'min is one who observes the signs in the universe. Have you not seen how your Lord spread the shadow? If He willed, He could have made it still. But we have made the sun its guide. Then we withdraw it to us, a gradual withdrawal. And it is He who makes the night a covering for you, and the sleep as a repose. And He makes the day for getting up. And it is He who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings, going before His mercy. And we send down pure water from the sky, that we may give life thereby to a dead land, and we give to drink thereof many of the cattle and men that we had created, and indeed we have distributed it amongst them, in order that they may remember, that they may take heed. We take all the blessings we've been given for granted. We take our parents for granted, we take our wealth for granted, the oxygen that we breathe, the sun, the moon, the stars. Oh yes, they've all been created to serve us. Do we think about serving the one who created them for us? No, we never think of that. But most men, most people accept nothing but disbelief and ingratitude. Because kufr is ingratitude. It's refusing to obey the one who's given us everything. And Allah says, had we willed, we would have raised a warner in every town. People say, why wasn't a prophet sent to us in these days? See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent for the rest of mankind. And that's why we have his enduring message, his enduring legacy in this Quran. فَلَا تُدْعِي الْكَافِرِينَ. Do not obey the disbelievers. Who are the disbelievers? Either those who reject Allah through their words, or those who reject Allah through their actions. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And strive against them with the utmost endeavor with it. What jihad is this? That we should all take up swords and start fighting against them? No. This jihad is the jihad of the Quran. Allah is saying, use this Quran in order to make them understand. See, that is the best form of jihad. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, giving us a weapon whereby we can convey this message to people. We say, how can we tell people? Allah is saying, use this Quran. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also asks us, it is not right for the believers that all of them should go off to battle. We have a limited concept of jihad, that men going off and fighting. Rather, from every troop of them, some of them should remain in order that they should gain understanding of deen. Some of us should dedicate our lives to understanding Islam, to conveying Islam. Then they should warn their people when they return to them, so that they can beware of evil. جَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Use your wealth for this Quran, for, you know, promoting these gatherings of knowledge. Use your time for this Quran. Spend your time in studying it, understanding it, acting upon it. Spend your time, your energies in conveying it. What are the rewards for doing this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, whoever proceeds upon a path by which he seeks knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him a path to Jannah. And no people gather in one of the houses of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that tranquility descends upon them and mercy covers them and the angels surround them and Allah mentions them to those in His presence. These are the rewards for jihad fi sabilillah through this Quran. Jahidhum bihi jihadan kabira. We read the Quran once in Ramzan, or we read the Quran once again, we think we've done our duty. Oh yes, I've read the Quran many times. I've read the translation 18 times. جَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. An amazing jihad. All your time, all your efforts, all your talents, your energies. If you have a skill for writing, then write about the Quran after studying. If you have a talent for teaching, then teach the Quran after learning. If you have a talent for doing research, then do research upon the Quran. Jihadan kabira. And it is Allah who has let free the two seas. One is palatable and sweet, and one is salty and bitter. And He has set a barrier and a complete partition between them. And we see examples of this in Azad Kashmir as well as in other places. And it is Allah who has created man from water and has appointed for him kindred by blood and kindred by marriage. And your Lord is ever all-powerful to do what He wills. And they worship besides Allah that which can neither profit them nor harm them. Again and again Allah repeats that after all these blessings that only Allah has created from them, still they turn away. And the disbeliever is ever a helper of shaitan against his Lord. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have sent you only as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. The dual mission, the dual purpose of Islam, to give those who obey Allah good news and those who want to go on disobeying bad news. Tell them, no reward do I ask of you for this, save that whosoever wills may take a path to his Lord. This is the purpose of the Muballigh. This should be our jihad through the Quran. What? Only connect to Allah. And that is the focal point of this Quran. Connect people to Allah. And then they'll figure it out for themselves. Does it seem difficult? هُوَ تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Put your trust in the ever-living one who does not die, and glorify his praises, and sufficient is he. As we all know of the sins of his slaves. People say it's so difficult. Society has gone too far. My friends will never listen to me, so what's the point of trying? Allah says, just convey the message. Connect them to Allah, and Allah will do the rest. Who created the heavens and the earth, and all that is between them in 6 days? Then he rose over the throne, Ar-Rahman, the most gracious. Ask him, the all-knower of everything. And when it is said to them, prostrate yourselves to Ar-Rahman, before the most gracious, they say, and what is the most gracious? Shall we fall down in prostration to that which you command us? And it increases in them only aversion. Blessed be he who has placed in the heaven big stars, and has placed therein a great lamp and a moon-giving light. And it is Allah who has put the night and the day in succession for such who desires to remember, أو أراد شكورا, or desires to show his gratitude. People say, oh, Allah knows how much I love him. How do we truly show our gratitude? By obeying Allah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The slaves of Ar-Rahman are those who walk on the earth in humility. And when the ignorant address them, they reply, peace. Now who are these Ibadur Rahman? Surely we're all slaves of Allah. These are special people. People who have attained a special degree of closeness with Allah. Why? Because of their actions. They walk on the earth in humility. They don't walk arrogantly. They don't walk around like know-it-alls and we're the pious do-gooders and we know everything. We're going to Jannah and everyone else is going to hell. They walk on the earth in humility. They use the earth's resources with humility. And when the ignorant people address them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They don't stoop to their level. They don't start bickering or fighting with them or saying, well, we know more than you do. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They say, peace be on you. They don't get involved in foolish arguments. Now what is our attitude these days? People love to boast, I really shut him up, didn't I? That's not the attitude of Ibadur Rahman. Their purpose is not to shut people up or to prove to people how intelligent they are or how superior they are. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They simply reply, peace. They spend the night بِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا, in worship of their Lord, prostrate and standing. Now these are very special people. They're not just doing the minimum level of ibadah, they've reached the maximum level of ibadah, the level of ihsan. They're reading tahajjud. Why is tahajjud so important? In Surah Muzammil, Allah tells us, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. The middle of the night is the best time for trampling your nafs. You want to control your nafs? You want to gain closeness to Allah? Then read tahajjud. They spend the night in worship of their Lord, prostrate and standing. What is the dua? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. They say, O our Lord, avert from us the torment of hell. When do we get up for tahajjud? Are we going through financial problems? So the whole family should read tahajjud. I'm not having a child, so I'll read tahajjud. And if I don't get my dua, then I'll stop reading tahajjud. What dua are they praying for? They're not praying for the world. They're not even praying for Jannah. I mean, people like this, you think they'd assume that they're going to Jannatul Firdaus. Look at their humility, their fear of Allah. They're saying, oh, our Lord, avert from us the torment of hell. Indeed, its torment is an inseparable, a permanent punishment. Evil indeed is it, as an abode and as a place to rest in. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا. Now after Allah gives us an insight into their private lives, Allah tells us about their daily lives. Those who when they spend are neither extravagant nor stingy, but hold a moderate way between those two extremes. What is extravagance? We need to know that to spend even a small amount of money on something which is haram is extravagance. To spend more than you can afford on something halal is extravagance. To spend but for people's sake, to give a sadqa so people admire you, is also extravagance. And Allah says, neither are they extravagant nor stingy. Like some people, their children will be wearing designer shoes, designer bags, and they never have enough money for sadqa. Oh, I'd love to give, but I don't have enough. Maybe next month I'll be able to take out some money. Allah says they're not stingy. We've read the rewards of spending in the path of Allah, and especially in this Ramzan. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا They're moderate between this. Neither do they give all their money away for sadqa, nor do they refuse to give a single penny for sadqa. And those who do not call upon any other God along with Allah. Sometimes we find people who are doing all these actions and yet they call to peace or they pray to buzzards or they pray to dead people who have passed away. No shirk. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسِ They do not kill anyone such as Allah has forbidden. We can't just say, well, because I'm fulfilling Allah's rights, then I can do what I like with the rest of mankind. حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ and حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ go together. The rights of Allah and the rights of people. Nor kill someone such as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause. Nor do they commit adultery. In other words, this person is leading a moderate life, fulfilling everyone's rights upon him. And whoever does this, in other words, whoever does shirk, or kills someone, or does zina, adultery, he shall receive the punishment. The torment will be doubled to him on the day of judgment, and he will abide there in disgrace. Illa man taba, except those who repent, and who believe, and do good deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds. Now we do tawbah all the time too, don't we? But that's not the tawbah that's being spoken of here. Tawbah means that your iman increases. Tawbah means you cleanse yourself, you stop that sin, you seek Allah's forgiveness and then you try and do good deeds to cancel out that sin. That's tawbah. Except those who repent and believe. Because when we do shirk, when we commit murder, when we commit adultery, then we're not in a state of iman at that time. So Allah says if you want to cancel out those actions, you need to develop your iman and you need to do good deeds. We think that one is kafar, we've said, and that's it, we are forgiven. No, Allah says, then they do good deeds. They try and cancel out the sins. For such, Allah will change their sins into good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا And Allah is forgiving, most merciful. Three such grave crimes, shirk, murder, adultery. We say, oh, it's too late, I've done too many sins, Allah won't forgive me now. And Allah is saying, if you do sincere tawbah, I will forgive you sins even of this gravity. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا And whoever repents and does good deeds, then indeed he repents towards Allah with true repentance. Not that you're boasting about your sins. Oh, I've had a really wild youth. No, you're not supposed to feel nostalgic about your sins, because that means you're not sorry for them. And those who do not bear witness to falsehood in all aspects of their lives. Truth is an integral part of their character, in their speech, in their actions, in their friends, and in their pacts with Allah. What is the greatest truth that we need to prove? La ilaha illallah. Those who do not bear witness to falsehood, not that they're praying and going for Umrah and Hajj and they're cheating in their business life. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا And when they pass by love, they pass it by with dignity. When they see something foolish, they see something trivial, something unnecessary going on, they pass it by with dignity. Not that they start stoning that person who's doing that. Or that they sit down and say, well, let me unwind or relax for a little while. They pass it by with dignity. As if you were to see a rubbish heap, you wouldn't stop and start looking at it, you just pass by. And those who, when they are reminded of the signs of their Lord, they do not fall deaf and blind thereat. When they're told what's in the Quran, they don't say, well, we know what's in the Quran, don't preach to us. They absorb what they hear in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا Look at their second dua. Their first dua was salvation from hell. What's the second dua? O our Lord, bestow on us from our maids and our offspring the comfort of our eyes. They pray for the dunya as well. But what is the conclusion of their dua? وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us leaders. World leaders? Leaders in our jobs? Bosses of our multinationals? No. Leaders of the Allah conscious. Their ambitions are spiritual. See, we find that these were the yearnings of the Prophet ﷺ's companions. We find on one occasion a man just about to take part in the battle. He was eating dates and he asked the Prophet ﷺ, if I fight and if I die, will I enter Jannah? And the Prophet said, yes. And he flung away that handful of dates. You and I would have said, let me just finish this verse and I'll think about it. And he raced forward into the midst of battle. He was martyred. On another occasion, we find a companion, Hazrat Hanzala. He was getting married that day. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, should I postpone my wedding till after the battle? And the Prophet said, no, you can spend your wedding night and join us in the morning. And when he was about to leave his wife, she had a dream, she had some inkling that something was going to happen. So she started crying. So he comforted her and then he rushed out because he didn't want to get late. And when he took part in the battle, he was martyred. His wife came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Messenger of Allah, he was in a state of ritual impurity. He hadn't even time to do ghusl. And he said, you know, the angels did his ghusl. And that man was called Ghaseelul Malaika, the one washed by angels. Now in our day too, we find people who have ambitions for such spiritual heights. I had a friend named Alia. And I remember on one occasion she said to me, you know what, I want to be one of the chain of scholars. I want to be one of those people whose knowledge is passed on. And I want to serve Islam. She died when she was only 23 years old. But I was telling a scholar about her and she replied, Niyatul mu'mini khayru min amalihi. A mu'min's intention is even better than his deed. Sometimes at the end of the day, even if she didn't have time to do this, may Allah reward her for that niyah. We find a very beautiful story about the scholar Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, that when he died, a man saw him in a dream and he asked him, how are you? And he said, Allah has been very kind to me. And there is a blacksmith over here who is at the same level that I am. And this man, when he woke up, he was amazed. And he sought that blacksmith's widow and he went to her and he said, what sort of a man was your husband? She said, he was just an ordinary man. He said, no, there must have been something special about him. She said, well, there were two things. That when he would hear the azan, he wouldn't let the hammer strike the anvil. He'd put it down. He'd go for namaz. And the other thing was, he always used to say, I wish I had knowledge such as Abdullah bin Mubarak's knowledge. Those who say, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us leaders of the Allah conscious. That's what our dreams should be on. Such are the sabiqoon. Such are the muhsineen. Those will be rewarded with the highest place in paradise. وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. Therein they shall be met with greetings and the word of peace. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Living therein forever. Excellent it is as an abode and as a place to rest in. Say, my Lord pays attention to you only because of your dua to him. People say, Allah doesn't listen to my dua. What's the good of praying? The Prophet ﷺ told us, whoever does not ask Allah, Allah is angry with him. This is the only relationship where Allah is encouraging us to ask him constantly. But now you have indeed denied him, so the torment will be yours forever.